If you would like to follow along, the scripture reading tonight will be from Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. Galatians 5, 16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and hypocrisy, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other.
Good evening, everyone. So we have a fruit list, and it's not a shopping list. It should already be in our basket, right? These things should already be with us. But I was wanting to talk more about that one in particular, and that's coming from the Greek word protos, which I probably don't pronounce right. I had a good friend in Topeka who moved back to Texas. His name was Tom Lucas, but his real name was Stamati, and he was Greek, and he could really tell you how to pronounce those things. But I don't have Stamati around to help me anymore to pronounce those things. But these are the passages that Paul put in, kind of like a list. And we're not often given lists in the Bible. There are a few, and Paul's a good one for making lists. And then I like the way that he also lets us use the spiritual wisdom that we acquire from studying God's word and living according to his teaching to understand what things are similar to those things which he has put on his list. And he did that both with the deeds of the flesh, things such as these, and also the fruits of the Spirit, things such as these. And the idea is that we ought to be smart enough and mature enough to understand what else would fit on this list, so we can be discerning and have a good understanding of what is right and what is wrong. Tonight I'm still talking about meekness. And last Sunday evening I spoke about the meekness of Jesus, how meekness is not weakness. And certainly he's involved in this lesson tonight. And yet the gist of it is more about the meaning of the word, how we can understand the meaning of that which is translated as gentleness even better, which is, again, the Greek word protos. You'll see it here as we go along. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So I suppose behind me now is a big foot that looks like it's going to step on me. But a big sandy foot, and that looks like a happy time, doesn't it, to be walking on the beach? But the idea is that none of these things are worth anything unless we walk with them. You know what I mean? We need to carry these things with us wherever we go. They should already have been in our shopping cart and put within us. Walking by the Spirit. Jesus, our greatest example. We noted that example last week. There's no better definition than Jesus himself. The Greek word in the text is protos. It is translated as gentle, mild or meek, but does not mean weak, never meant weak. For example, the Greek used the words to describe someone who was kind and could calm another person. Another example of the use of the word pratos was to describe a king who had all the power and authority to punish a person who had done wrong, but decided instead to show kindness and forgiveness to the person. We could praise the king for his gentleness, but we would still know he had the power to punish. His choice to be meek and gentle is kindness, not weakness. It's not an inability to act out, to seek revenge, to punish, but rather a desire to be gentle and to be kind. And that's on the list of things that we ought to be. For a better understanding, we could consider pratos is used to describe a combination of strength and gentleness, power purposely under control. A lioness can use her claws to rip prey, but retracts them as she gently nurses her cubs. So she uses her claws at a time when the claws are appropriate, but when not needed, she keeps them retracted, pulled back. Aristotle had a definition, and the Greeks used his definition, and because it went from English to Greek here, or Greek to English here, it's kind of paraphrased, but it's like this. Aristotle says, a person who displays pratos can be angry, but they are angry for the right reason, at the right person, in the right manner, at the right moment, and for the right length of time. We've all known people who didn't get over their anger, who would hold anger for years, or even in some cases, spouses, where one would be angry even for a week or two too long, you know, and kind of make it difficult for the other person. So we have to be careful about that, to not hold our anger. Paul, I get this from what Paul said, that it's okay to be angry. I can think of times when Jesus was angry. Can you remember a few times when Jesus was angry? I know that God got angry with everyone once, right? Except for Noah and his family. So anger in itself is not necessarily a sin. It's an emotion. How we handle it can make it a sin or not a sin. And so Paul says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So Jesus made a whip of three cords and he drove the money changers and those selling doves and other things out of the temple, but he didn't stay angry all night long. He got them out of there, he was done, and it was over till next time. Defined by contrast, we can see not only that some things are similar, but also some things contrast. So 1 Corinthians 4:21, Paul says, what do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? So there's a contrast between a rod and gentleness. Or in 2 Corinthians 10:1, now I, Paul, myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. So again, you see the idea of meekness versus boldness. And people were accusing him of being bold in what he wrote, but meek in his action. But again, in a sense, he was like the king who had the power to do things but chose not to. Perhaps you might remember a time when Elymas was struck blind because he wouldn't stop pestering people. All right, so Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And again, we can have a definition on the basis of context. It's in a list of other good things, other spiritually healthy things, other things that are beneficial and edifying to those around you. And so it's defined by its context. In Galatians 6:1, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. So again, the idea of pointing a finger at someone and you have three or four pointing back at you. Don, how many? You got pointing back at you, but you have this idea of whoever you're pointing at, you've got some fingers pointing back at you, and you need to correct that person in a spirit of gentleness, not a big accusation. The devil's a big accuser, you know, and people who like to find some dirt on somebody. Those are the kind of people that he's not talking about here. He's talking about going to that person. We had a box back there. I don't know if it's still there, but I worry a little bit about the box. I'm thinking, now, that box is great unless we use it to complain about people and do it anonymously, because then not only did we circumvent Jesus' command to go to your brother, but we also did it, you know, a complaint anonymously. So suggestion boxes are great, but they shouldn't be for the purpose of circumventing our responsibility to go to somebody if we have an issue with that person. So here's a situation where maybe you know somebody is in a trespass and in a sin, and it doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that maybe you've been through this yourself, and you can go with the spirit of gentleness and help that person out. A manner of walking. Ephesians 4, 1-3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So again, all of these things that are for us as our character, things to add to our character, are things that we need to carry with us as we walk. I saw some of you looking for the box, and I saw somebody shaking their head like the box is gone. I don't know what happened to it. I won't mention it again. It might be a problem for somebody. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to get in the middle of it if there was a problem. But the idea of carrying with us these spiritual characteristics. So the walk combines it all. The idea of all of these things in the context that are similar, that are edifying, that are good, that are productive for the Lord's work. And so put it in the walk, because that's where it belongs. It doesn't belong on the page. It belongs in the person, and it belongs in the walk. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So again, you see the idea of the one body, the unity in Christ. Christ is the head. You've been forgiven. You ought to forgive others. Let the peace, let the love rule inside of you. All of those things that are on the side of fruits of the Spirit have to do with loving somebody, loving God and loving each other, even in loving the lost also. So it's something to be pursued, something to be taught, protos, the gentleness, the kindness, the power under control. 1 Timothy 6:11, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and protos, gentleness. 2 Timothy 2:24-26, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Everything that you would see in Paul's list of deeds of the flesh are things that hold people captive to the devil, and God wants us all to escape those things. Titus 3, 1-3, remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. So again, evidence of a transition. What we used to be is not what we are now. We are growing into something different. We are being changed. We are being transformed. We are being renewed. We are born again. We are a new creation. And we're for the purpose of doing new things, things that you would find on the list of the fruits of the Spirit. God is kind. Titus 3, 4 through 6. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That washing of regeneration, that's a burial and baptism to be born again. Regeneration. Die, be buried, be born again. Washing of regeneration, baptism into Christ. Just as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, or you would never see the kingdom of God. God is kind. This morning in our lesson, I spoke of the things that Solomon and Job didn't know, things that had not yet been revealed, and how they had a worldview based on what was available to them at that time. They didn't completely know whether they would be dead all over like the old dog Rover when they died, or if there was something beyond that. And yet, Job had this idea as he went through his struggling that his Redeemer lived, and that he would see God, that his flesh would rise, and that he would see God, and he would see his Redeemer. So there was some understanding, but they didn't know how it all was going to be put together. And then God, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, then it was made known. Then it became known what the plan of God had been from before the foundation of the world. He always loved mankind, but His answer to our need for regeneration was not made known until Jesus Christ came and the gospel was preached. Titus 3, 7 through 8, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. So Preacher Titus was being told to go to Crete, to set things in order, appoint elders in all the congregations, and to teach these people to do good things, because good things are profitable for men. Good things are edifying. Good things glorify God. Good things bring us from what we were to what He's wanting us to all become. So we prove it by practicing it. James 1, 21 through 22. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. People who are here today are good soil. The seed of the word of God took sprout in them. They sprouted and they're bearing fruit, and it was implanted for that very purpose, that it would bear fruit in their lives. It doesn't mean that we each have the same role, but it means that we all should bear fruit of goodness, of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, which affect everyone in the congregation, which affect everyone in our families, which affect everyone in our neighborhoods, which affect everyone in our cities, which affect everyone in our states, our nations, and our world. And not only this generation, but in generations to come. Many of you might have go back in your mind and think of people in your own family who have done wrong things that have affected generations. And you also might be able to go back and think of people in your families who have done right things that have affected generations. What we do now may affect someone, not only today, but in the future. James 3:13, who among you is wise and understanding, let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Being wise is being gentle. John brought up a picture from Bible class the other day, and it said he didn't cut the baby in half. It was talking about how Solomon found a way to solve the problem of the baby that was claimed by two different women. You remember that? And so, you know, he said, well, let's just cut the baby in half, bring a sword. And And the real mother said, let her have him, let her have him. And so wisdom is gentle. Wisdom can find a better way than to do the drastic thing. Wisdom can find a way to make peace, to make happiness, to solve a problem. And if it's gentleness of wisdom, then it works in the meekness of a powerful person who has the ability to do something harsh, but chose instead to do something gentle. 1 Peter 3:13 through 15, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Now, if we back through this, we can see, number one, people ought to be able to see that there's a hope within us. And we ought to be able to give an answer with gentleness and with reverence, respectfully, meekly, kindly, lovingly, letting them see Jesus in us. Don't worry when people are picking on you. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Can you see how much easier it is for us to keep and demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit if we have already sanctified Christ as Lord in our hearts? If I keep myself as Lord in my heart, I won't remember to use the fruits of the Spirit. But if I sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart, it's easier for me to remember to walk by faith, not by sight, to do all things through Him who strengthens me, to choose the right way, the best way in any situation. Not that I do that, but at least with Christ in my heart, I know that needs to be my goal. And we also need to be willing to suffer and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it, so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Christians today do suffer. We face a world around us who says that we should tolerate any kind of crazy thing. People who claim that they have no control over certain aspects of their life. For example, homosexuals want to claim they were born that way, even though science has proven it's not the case, that it's not about their genetics, it's about what they've learned in the environment in which they live. And we as Christians have every right to say we believe in God, and God says that's wrong, and that if you continue to do that, then God won't let you come to heaven. We have every right to say that, but yet people want to trample over all of our rights. We have anything from cartoons to movies that depict the father in the family as a little bit dumb, not too bright, and the mother is the smart one. Well, where's the leadership of the father in the family? Everything that we hold as Christian value is being put under attack by the society that we live in. We are suffering. We are suffering. And we need to suffer with the ability to show people why we believe in Christ. Suffer with the ability to show people why those things are wrong and Christ is right. We should never be afraid because Christ is on our side and we are on His side. And what they do to us or what they say to us is nothing compared to the importance of following Christ and the blessing of the outcome, indescribable, as we talked about this morning, the indescribable blessings of what He is doing for us. Noah had suffered. Noah lived among a people who were annoying him every day. People he couldn't stand their behavior. Maybe he loved them, but he couldn't stand their behavior. He didn't want to be around them. He didn't want to see what they were doing. He didn't want to hear what they were doing. He didn't want to know what they were doing. But unfortunately, he lived in the midst of them. But he and his family chose to be different. And it talks about how it says Jesus was made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the water. Noah was saved from sinners by means of a boat on top of the flood. We are saved from our own sin through baptism beneath water. Peter says, corresponding to that flood, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Jesus, who could have called a million angels, Jesus, who chose to be crucified, Jesus, who meekly was born in an animal's barn, Jesus, who rode into the city not on a flashy stallion of a king, but on the foal of a donkey, Jesus has gone into heaven with angels and authorities and powers subjected to him. Jesus is the one who saves us now. Peter goes on to say, Simon Peter, a bondservant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these things he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. So Peter makes a list too of all the good things that we ought to be adding to ourselves so that we can walk by the Spirit and not carry out the deeds of the flesh. Because we need to understand that a war goes on within us all the time, and that we need to win the war by choosing the fruits of the Spirit over the deeds of the flesh. And he says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. One of the things that I consistently pray for myself and for other Christians is that we be fruitful and useful in the kingdom of God. In order for us to be fruitful and useful in the kingdom of God, we need to be walking in the fruits of the Spirit, with the fruits of the Spirit, showing the fruits of the Spirit, showing our hope, showing our belief, showing our trust, showing our faith, showing our love, showing our commitment to Jesus Christ, not denying him, but confessing him in everything that we do. Eternal life is the best life. It's the life that Jesus offers us. It's the life that Jesus has given us. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. The flip side of that would be is if we don't practice these things, then the door could close right in our face. So we need to be remembering that as long as we practice these things, we will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to us. The Greek word in the text is protos, translated as gentle, mild, or meek, but does not mean weak. We know what it means. We know how it is done. We should ask ourselves if our lives show it. We can work hard to be gentle with our claws retracted, and the choice is always ours. And the choice determines the outcome. Be powerful. Use it meekly. Be like Jesus. Power with claws retracted. Be meek. Nurture some soul. Nurture some soul today. Nurture some soul this week with gentleness and kindness and love. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. If there's any need for you to respond to tonight's lesson, we offer you the opportunity as we stand and sing.